You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of On to the Next One, MMAfighting.com's matchmaking podcast, as we attempt to look at the futures for some of the notable names coming out of Saturday night's UFC Vegas 13 card. And some of you might be thinking to yourselves, whoa, it's Sunday. Is this a mistake? No, it is not a mistake, because this is a special gift from us to you, our podcast subscribers. So some of you may still be hearing this on Monday, and if so, welcome. But for those who subscribe to our channel on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, etc., you're getting this bad boy a day early. So if you haven't subscribed, do so right now. It's free and it takes 3 seconds to do. So, and this just might be a regular thing from here on out. So make sure you subscribe and don't miss out. You get this episode before anybody else does. But now that that's out of the way, the housekeeping, so to speak, I am Mike Heck, and I'm being joined by the co-host, the co-matchmaker, the best friend, and the tag team partner in this venture, Mr. Alexander K. Lee. How are you, sir?
Hello, Mike Heck, my best friend. Sunday. So this isn't a special case. This isn't because of when's fake Thanksgiving again? When's your fake Thanksgiving in the United States? That's not this weekend?
No. A few weeks ago.
For any listeners who aren't aware, even though I mention it frequently, I live in Canada, where we have real Thanksgiving, which we celebrate in October. So we do Thanksgiving, we do Halloween in the same month as God intended, and we save November for, I can't remember what we use the same weekend for something else, but happy fake Thanksgiving to anyone out there celebrating early. If that's why. Otherwise, if we're just doing Sunday shows from now on, fantastic. But either way, happy to be here. And I have to say, Saturday's show was pretty decent. I know you guys did the post show yesterday. I was not there, but I will say I think the UFC has found a good formula with having mismatches. I shouldn't say mismatches, but pretty clear heavy favorites on the prelims, which often leads to finishes, which you've seen in the last two shows, and then having competitive fights in the main card. This is not a bad strategy, I would say, for casual, breezy viewership.
This is like the old school edition of like Monday Night Raw. That's what they are. Like squash matches for some of the up and coming names to get them over. And then there's, you know, a pretty good main event to keep the people on board for the 2 hours or 3 hours now.
I don't remember anyone's ears getting torn off on, old episodes of like WWF Superstars. But again, I didn't see every episode. So, and we all know Mick Foley certainly had his share of injuries. But I don't recall too many Heddle, that's a medical term, Heddle disfigurements happening on my Saturday morning wrestling. But we certainly got that yesterday.
We sure did. We got a little bit of everything. But let's go ahead and light this candle, AK. Let us begin with the man who came out victorious in the main event of UFC Vegas 13, Glover Teixeira, who at 41 years of age used that granite chin of his, used his outstanding ground game, his heart, his elbows, his fists, and everything else, and submits Thiago Santos in the third round. And come Tuesday, this man should have a number one next to his name in the light heavyweight division. But as everybody knows by now, the UFC is leaning towards Jan Blachowicz defending his title for the first time against Israel Adesanya. And it seems that is still the plan as of right now. So the question is, AK, what does Glover do? Does he wait for the winner and hope that Blachowicz does win that fight? Does he hope maybe someone prices themselves out and he can just sort of slide in there? Or does he just say, you know what, I don't want to wait that long, keep me busy? What do you think he does here?
I mean, yeah, look, if Izzy prices himself out of the Jan Blachowicz fight, then Teixeira's right there. You know, that's the great thing. When, you know, everyone was kind of downplaying the implications of this fight with that Izzy Blachowicz announcement. But again, it's important to be number one, not just on the shortlist, but to be at the front of that shortlist, which is where Teixeira kept himself with that win yesterday. But yeah, look, I joked about that. I don't remember if I tweeted this or anything, but I joked that all it takes is for Izzy to ask for a few extra dollars that rubs Dana White and the UFC the wrong way. And then suddenly the Izzy fight was never even close to being finished. It was always going to be whoever won, the UFC Vegas 13 main event that I was going to put in that pole position to fight Jan Blachowicz. So that can change really quickly. Obviously, that's a cool fight, you know, Blachowicz Izzy, so I don't want to poop on it. But really, Teixeira should not have to fight again. He should just wait for the winner of that fight. He should fight Blachowicz. But we do know if Izzy beats him, it probably sets the table for a John Jones to come back to light heavyweight and fight him. And that means Teixeira would be on the shelf for 6 months, 9 months. We don't know. We don't know how long it takes for all this to unfold. So if he has to fight again, Mike, if he has to fight again, the Dominic Reyes, Jiří Procházka winner. They're fighting in February 27th, but he shouldn't. My thing is he should get the Blachowicz Adesanya winner, especially if it's Blachowicz.
Yeah, I think he's probably screwed here, honestly. Like, he's probably going to have to fight again, but, you know, if you want to throw him like a little bit of a bone, and the UFC should absolutely do this, make him the backup for the Jan versus Izzy fight in case something happens, like, at least he gets an extra paycheck to make weight. So at least you're saying, hey, Glover, we care. We're not giving you the shot, but, you know, we care. You know, if something happens, we slide you in there. If not, we'll give you a couple extra shekels. But, you know, if Blachowicz wins that fight, Glover's obviously the guy you slide in there. If Adesanya wins, like you said, he's fighting John Jones, more than likely. They would have to make that fight, because if you didn't make it then, you're never going to. So, like, and I'm completely in agreement with you. You do Glover versus the winner of Dominic Reyes versus Jiří Procházka, and the winner gets the next title shot. Or, you know, if Adesanya wins, and let's just say he beats John Jones, Glover's right there probably for a vacant title fight or something like that. So we don't know what's going to happen. Vacant title fight is a very possible thing here. But, you know, how, like Dana White said, Adesanya's got options. This is great. Glover's got options too, but it's not so great for him.
Yeah, it's the only thing else. The one thing I want to add is, you know, it's kind of like our own Casey Lydon was. He was very frustrated, remember, with the Lauren Murphy. Who did Lauren Murphy beat again? That short notice replacement.
Lilia Shakarova.
Yes, Lilia Shakarova. Excellent, thank you. and obviously, fighting the Reyes Procházka winner would be very different than that. But I mean, even the Calvillo matchup, I remember Casey wasn't crazy about, because he felt that Murphy had done enough to sort of earn a title shot, and then having to fight again was, you know, it sucks. It's you need to stay busy, you need to get that paycheck. That's how these guys, people earn their living. But it is unfortunate, and you're right. And I really, Teixeira finds on that same place. He's the number one contender. He doesn't become more the number one contender with a win over Reyes or Jiří Procházka, right? It's only he has something to lose. For the fans, great fight. You know, can't complain if that happens. But really, maybe we're just being sentimental. But the. I would like to see Teixeira get one more crack at the UFC light heavyweight title.
If Dominic Reyes beats Jiří Procházka, I don't think Glover's going to have to fight again. I think that he's good to go. But if Jiří wins, you best believe they're going to do everything in their power to make that fight. And I like Jiří, and he's getting pushed, and deservedly so. But I think Glover probably beats him pretty handily. That's just Glover's in that spot right now. I think Glover beats Jan Blachowicz right now, for being honest. He's just that much on a run, and he's looking that good. Like, yeah, he got caught a couple of times with Thiago Santos, but he stayed in there both of those times, and Jan's got that Polish power, but it's a pretty fair argument that Santos is the most powerful guy at 205, more than likely. Like, he's got more bricks in his hand than Jan does. Jan's got sneaky power, but Thiago's got that, like, life-altering one-shot power, and Glover's just like, ooh, I'm still going to take you down and submit you. And that's what he did. So as we move ahead to Thiago Santos, I mean, like we said, certainly had his moments, almost finished the fight twice. And if he didn't chase Glover to the ground in the third round and just let him back up, maybe he would have gotten the finish on the feet. Maybe not, but the chances would have increased, one would guess. So this one seems kind of easy, AK. Alexander Rakic needs a fight. He deserves someone in the top five. That works for me. Rakic versus Santos. What say you?
Yeah, that was the obvious choice for me as well. But I didn't love it.
I didn't love it either.
No, it took me a while. Yeah, it took me a while to settle on it. Like, that's the first. I looked at my rankings. I'm just like, okay, who hasn't he fought? Who's not booked? Blah, blah, blah. Who needs, as you said, who needs a fight? Who deserves a fight still with a top 10 guy? Rakic, boom, popped up right away. And I was like, is that it? Like, is that really my only option here? And it really, nothing else jumped out. The only thing, and I think we've kind of played around with the winners or losers of this matchup, fighting. I know I mentioned them in the Johnny Walker. I feel like I've mentioned them in another matchup. But you know, Shogun Hua and Craig are fighting again on November 21st. Maybe the loser of that fight fights Thiago Santos. But really, the Rakic fight has a lot more juice to it. And again, we both came to this conclusion. I think it makes sense. It's not a sexy matchup. It's not a great matchup for Thiago Santos. But it is a good test to see how serious Thiago Santos is, really is as a contender. Because I think we've seen his limitations. I think we're aware of his limitations. We've somewhat seen his ceiling. Maybe it was the John Jones fight. Maybe that's the best Thiago Santos we'll see. But if he gets past a guy like Rakic, he's not. Then, you know, that keeps him right up there. He's not far removed from getting it, staying in that light heavyweight title picture, which, again, we don't know what it'll look like by mid-2021 or the end of 2021, but he'll want to still be in the talks, of course.
Yeah, I think if Dominic Reyes beats Jiří Prochazka, maybe you do Reyes versus Santos, because there's just really no other way to go, or you could do the loser of that fight. Mm-hmm. He's got options, but I think Rakic, just because he deserves something like that, he deserves that fight. I think that's probably the way to go. This is interesting, AK. Co-main event. We saw Andre Arlovsky play spoiler once again, this time at the expense of Tanner Bozier. Not the greatest fight ever, but Arlovsky fought a very smart fight. And listen, you can complain about the fight all you want, but the man got the second half of his paycheck, and that is all that matters at the end of the day, AK. So what is next for the former heavyweight champion of the world?
I had the perfect matchup for him in my mind, because I was looking over... I was doing some writing about Arlovsky for the site, and then I was like, man, he's fought really every name heavyweight, like almost in MMA history. One, he hadn't. I was like, perfect matchup. Junior Dos Santos. Perfect. Unfortunately, Dos Santos is for some reason booked against Ciryl Gane on December 12th. I hate this matchup. I like it for Ciryl Gane because I think obviously he's a great prospect. And it's a winnable fight for him. It's a good test, though. I think it's way too early for... It's such a weird fight. I feel like at the same time, one, it's way too early for Ciryl Gane, but I also hate it for JDS because I just don't think he should be in this sort of prospect building position. I just don't think that's where he deserves to be yet. So I think a fight between Arlovsky was perfect. So I would say give him the winner of that fight, but I don't really want to see Arlovsky fight Ciryl Gane either. So it's really only if JDS pulls off an upset there that I would want to see him fight Arlovsky. But I you know what? That fight will probably still happen someday, if not next. Sometime next year, 2022. These guys are lifers. So if not that, then I kind of just do it. Shamil Abdurakhimov.
All right.
Age-wise, they're around the same. I think people don't realize that. I mean, Abdurakhimov's kind of has had nowhere near as lengthy a UFC career, of course. But he's actually 39 years old, so people don't know. So he's right around Arlovsky's age. So age-appropriate matchmaking. That's what I'm all about.
So Arlovsky gets the win. I have no problem with the way he won that fight because... Sure. Got to make that money, son. And you know, he did have some things to say after the fight about game plans and how he wants to fight smarter. You know, these are all good things for his career, especially at his age. But you know how Dana White can be. He'd rather see Arlovsky get in there and throw bolos. And I think the UFC wanted to use this fight as a launching pad of sorts for Tanner Bozier, and Arlovsky thwarted those plans. And for that, and AK, you are going to hate what I have to say, more than likely. Oh, no. He's going to have to pay the price for it. So normally, as you talked about, I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, I don't like to check off two boxes in one show, but I'm going to do it here. Arlovsky, the man is a legend, former heavyweight champion of the world, in the record books a number of times. But this is a guy, unfortunately, that for the remainder of his career, he's either going to be putting over up-and-coming talent, or he's just going to spoil parties, and it's a cool moment when he does that. Mm-hmm. So what I think the UFC is going to do here, and maybe this won't be next for his opponent, but next for Andre, I think he's going to fight Alexander Romanov. Maybe Romanov gets another one in before the end of the year. But if he wins, and the way they like to match guys like this up, he probably will. You do Romanov versus Arlovsky after that, or they just get that one in the books February or March or something. But it seems like Romanov wants to fight in December. He called out Marcin Tybura. Don't hate that idea. But if he goes out and beats Tybura, give him Arlovsky next. That's what I think they'll do, AK.
I'll be honest. I can't remember the last time Arlovsky faced like in a someone with like that kind of wrestling, that kind of aggressive wrestling. Because I was going to say like, oh, I hate this matchup because he'll ragdoll Arlovsky. I don't know if that's ever happened to Arlovsky before. I'm actually looking for, but again, has he ever fought someone who could really do that to him? I guess in that sense, it's interesting. But again, like I said, I just don't want to see. If it's possible, if Romanov can do that to him, I don't want to see that. I kind of like Oleksiy Arlovsky, and I don't know if I want to see that. But it does make a lot of sense. Again, if we want to do the both guys picked up wins on the card, their timelines probably match up. I'm not against it happening. It's just not my favorite. You were right. Thank you. You know me well, Mike. I wasn't happy to hear that.
Yeah, I'm not happy saying it, if we're being honest, but I just think that's what's going to happen. And I think it's like the next logical step, because I don't want to see, because the reason I suggest this fight is I don't want the UFC to just throw Romanov into a top 10 fight, which they would do. And I mean, it's something they would absolutely do. They've done it before. At least with Arlovsky, they're still slow rolling him a little bit. No disrespect to Arlovsky at all, because he just got a nice win on Saturday. But still, this is a winnable fight for Romanov. Gives him a step up, but it's not like a ridiculous step up where you're like, okay, this guy might get knocked out and look really bad and we thwart his career before it even really gets started in the UFC. But it is the heavyweight division. Anything can happen. So interesting options. I'm sure the UFC would rather us be talking about Tanner Bozier right now, but it is what it is. Tanner Bozier's a pretty easy pick, and we'll talk about that later. But how about Hione Barcelos, AK? Good Lord, this guy is a talent in a very loaded 135-pound division. Defeats Khalid Taha on short notice. He's 5-0 in the UFC, 16-1 overall. He's got a 9-fight winning streak now, I believe. This man is a problem, and quite frankly, he should absolutely unequivocally be ranked in this division. And if he isn't by Tuesday, he deserves to fight somebody in the top 15 for sure. And I said this on Twitter, my first choice, if he's ready to turn around next month, give him Merab Dawalishvili. Merab needs an opponent. Barcelos getting some steam. That's a lot of fun. If they already have somebody in mind for Merab, you give him a guy like Cody Stamann, or you give him Song Yadong. Regardless, it's somewhat interchangeable in my mind. Barcelos versus X, but that X better have a number next to his name. What is your position on Hione Barcelos and his next move?
Yeah, look, we've been kind of on a downer with our last two picks. We're like, you know, we were kind of resigned to them. That Merab fight is, that's the one I want to. It's the one I want to see. It makes sense. December 5th, right? Merab was supposed to face a ranked guy in Cody Stamann. And now, like you said, he would instead get a guy who definitely should be ranked by next week, or at least if not on the fringe. I'll tell you, in my rankings, he's actually just outside, but my rankings are a little screwed up. I probably have some old dudes ahead of Hione,
yep.
Hione, that he should be ranked over, but my rankings can be a little stodgy. so yeah, that's fight, awesome fight on paper, good mix of styles. Oh, you know, someone's streak's gonna have to end, but man, that's just a super, super exciting fight. So that'd be it. Otherwise, if we're talking ranked, hat tip to Bloody Elbows Mookie Alexander here, who threw this one out. Some other people mentioned this as well, but I saw him mention it first. Jimmy Rivera, I think, makes a lot of sense. It does make a lot of sense. I do not want that over the Merab fight, but Jimmy Rivera, for sure, veteran guy. Again, really good test. Rivera, but for better or for worse, kind of in that bantamweight gatekeeper role now. You know, he looked like a title contender before, but the way they've matched him up and the way his results have kind of played out, it does feel like he's that test for some guys, see how close they are to the top five, and maybe not necessarily a top five guy himself. The other one is maybe the Ricky Simone Brian Kelleher winner January 16th. That could be fun, but again, those guys will we know Kelleher, if he wins, who knows when he'll fight the next week, so impossible to predict really. Ricky Simone might be looking for a little bit more of a name. Maybe he doesn't want to go. He might view Barcelos as a step backwards. I'm not sure, but Barcelos Dawalishvili is the matchup to make, absolutely.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank & Trust. Members FDIC.
We go from a Fight of the Night bonus winner to one of the Performance of the Night winners, along with Mr. Romanov. Giga Chikadze improves to 5-0 in the UFC and second fighter to go to get four wins in 2020. Follows up Kevin Holland the next week. Knocks out Jamie Simmons in the first round. Beautiful head kick to the ground and pound. A lot of people excited for Giga Chikadze, AK. What do you like next for him?
Well, we have to say it's a good thing Giga Chikadze got on the mic. And also there was some social media activity as well. Because I was this close, Mike, you know this, to banning Giga from our show. Okay? Kevin Holland's already banned. Kevin Holland, I am telling you right now, he is banned. I think we did match the week for him last time. But that is it. Because what did he do? He just accepted that short notice fight with my memory is terrible. Who's Kevin Holland fighting now?
Jack Hermanson.
Thank you, Jack Hermanson. People, I'm not a smart man. He's fighting Jack Hermanson now again. Anyway, you know what? That's something we should have seen coming. Okay, as soon as Till dropped out, we should have been. But that happened after the show. So Holland, because he'll fight with 2 weeks, 3 weeks notice, he is banned. You have not agreed. You have not co-signed on this. I'm the only one who has signed on this. He's banned from the show. Giga was close because Giga's been fighting a lot too, just taking whatever fights get thrown his way. So he's almost banned from our show because we just can't predict these guys, Mike. It's frustrating to me. But thankfully, he called out Jeremy Stevens, who's looking for a fight after missing Arnold Allen for his next booking. And Jeremy Stevens responded with, "Nice fight, Giga," on Twitter. "Nice fight, Giga Chikadze. I accept for December. Butt cheeks. Let's go." I thought that was an autocorrect. I assume it is a reference to Chikadze, butt cheeks. Well done, Jeremy Stevens. Well done. And then Giga responded early this morning. What would have been early this morning? "Show up, bum. December. I'll break your jaw." So 15-17. Are there two cards? He said 15-17. I don't know what that means. But so Giga's down. He did our work for us. I'm into it. Giga Chikadze, Jeremy Stevens, let's roll.
Yeah, I could not have loved the Stevens call out anymore. Like, he did plant the seeds for maybe a future fight with Arnold Allen, but that fight's not going to happen anytime soon, and I think he knows that, and he should understand that as well. Like, Arnold Allen is on a ridiculous run right now. He's a top 10 guy. Fighting a guy like Giga Chikadze does nothing for him. Like, Giga's got some buzz to him, but in terms of ranking and all that stuff, it means it's a very risky fight with very little reward, because I'd love to see Arnold Allen fight Edson Barboza. That works out perfectly for me. So, yeah, give Chikadze what he wants. Give him Stevens, top 10 guy. He's going to stand there right in front of him. Stevens still has some pop even at this point. Like, even though he's on a losing streak, he can still knock dudes out. So this is a good test, a veteran name.
a guy who quite honestly fits into Chikadze's fighting style quite well. And I saw people on Twitter saying that that was a bad call out. Like, I could not disagree more. This was a perfect A-plus call out in my book, and I am completely on board with this idea, AK, completely.
Yeah, Stevens is still ranked, I think, in the UFC's, or again, maybe it's my...
He's number 9? 8 or 9?
That's what I thought. Is he not still in the top 10?
He should be. He was at least like a few days ago, unless something drastically changed.
Yes, he is tied for with Arnold Allen, ranked 8th. So it's a great call out, unless people think it's too soon, which again, if you've seen both guys fight, if you've seen Chikadze finally getting his first finish, by the way, you know that he's a top 20 caliber guy. And again, maybe top 10. But that's why the Stevens call is so good. It's a guy who's probably on his way out of the top 10. Chikadze's looking to slide in there. Style-wise, very good for him. Very winnable fight. It's a perfect call-out. If people wanted to be a little more rankings appropriate, a guy who I think is a little closer to him in the rankings, I kind of and still a veteran. People are gonna hate this because it won't shoot him up that much. I kind of like a Daniel Pineda matchup. Pineda had the chance to capitalize since the Herbert Burns upset, but again, if people want to take it a little bit slower at Giga, Daniel Pineda would be a fun one. Veteran, good test for him. And then the other option is, actually, I wrote this down as he should fight the winner of this fight, but I think it's just as likely that maybe he steps in to replace one of these guys, God forbid anything happen, the Nate Landwehr, Movsar Evloev fight, which is also happening, which is happening on December 5th. And you know, if someone drops out of that fight, Giga's sliding right in. I would love to see Giga versus Nate Landwehr. I'm just saying, that would be insane.
Yes. So he's got some options, big win, stepped in, got a short notice fight and did what he needed to do with it. Big victory for him. But let's move to the first fight on the main card. Yan Xiaonan picks up her biggest win over Claudia Gadelha. Kick off the ESPN 2 main card, whatever it was, ESPN. Earns unanimous decision win. She looked great. Gadelha just had nothing for her after that first round. And you could argue that Gadelha lost that round too because of the damage she was taking from Xiaonan off of her back. And I think you throw her in there with the top five opponent next. Like, and I know I saw a lot of people suggesting the winner of Michelle Watterson versus Amanda Ribas because they're going to fight in January. Carla Esparza is sitting right there at number 3. I think that is the fight to make. Esparza just keeps knocking off these new up-and-coming faces. Xiaonan is probably going to be ranked in the top 5 by Tuesday, so that fight makes perfect sense to me, AK. What do you think?
So as far as we know, it hasn't been booked yet, but the matchup that we assume everyone's working on, and I think for early next year, I think Dana White has mentioned early next year they're hoping Zhang Weili and Rose Namajunas, right? So everyone else has to wait. I believe in an earlier show, I had said I liked Esparza to get a title shot at some point, but she would have to wait a really long time now. She does have to fight. So certainly the matchup with Yan made sense to me. Otherwise, the thing is, I think Yan is in a similar position to share her. I don't think she needs to fight again. But she probably is going to. She also kind of needs that. This was a statement win, but, you know, people like finishes. I'm sure people would want to see her knock somebody out at least. But, you know, a run of decisions isn't always the most attractive thing to fans, unfortunately. But she looked really, really good on Saturday. So that definitely, for me, that was all the statement she needed to make. People need to see her do more work. So I would love to see her fight the winner of Zhang Namajunas. But otherwise, there's a lot of other worthy people. If we're going top five, the only tricky thing with this is we don't know when she'll be ready to fight again. And it's another undefeated UFC fighter, so I don't know if they want to go that way. But Tatiana Suarez, I'm kind of interested in that fight. You know, I hate to take the heat off of one of them, but Suarez, because she's been out for so long, I do think needs to fight again, and she needs a tough opponent. I don't think she should go much lower than Yan in the rankings. And again, top five, the only people I have above Yan right now is a very short list, and Tatiana Suarez is one of them. So I'm willing to see that if she doesn't wait for the Zhang Namajunas winner.
Yeah. Yeah, just I think she needs like at least another win, maybe two at this point. Like, Gadelha's a good win, but not a great win. I mean, many think that she lost the Angela Hill fight. I think Esparza, if she could beat Carla Esparza, I think there's no doubt about it. And on the flip side, if Carla Esparza beats Xiaonan, I think that's it. Like, you have to give Esparza the title shot next. You just have to. Like, people may not want to see it, but that's it. That's the win you need to get you over the top. But as you guys heard earlier, I did somewhat matchmake for Alexander Romanov. We did want to spotlight him because he's just ridiculous and so fun to watch. And I will say that, like I alluded to earlier, I think they will try to book him in December. He did call out Marcin Tybura. I think that's what they end up doing. And then all signs in my eyes point to Romanov versus Arlovsky, as I stated. So, AK, I give you the floor for your Alexander Romanov pick.
A sick part of me really wants to see the Tabura matchup, just because that has to be the first time anyone's called up Martin Tabura. Has to be. I could be wrong. Like you say, look, I clearly can't remember fights that are scheduled to happen like next week. So for me to try and remember if anyone has ever called out Martin Tabura is fool's gold, as a fool's errand. But I don't know why that just blew me away. I'm like, it was very logical. But the matchup doesn't interest me that much style wise. I don't know. I kind of want to see him face one more guy around his level of experience. So I actually was leaning towards Tai Tuivasa. A guy who won who's coming off a win, who we didn't matchmake last time, because I do like to see these younger guys get like three UFC wins before I start saying, all right, I'm going to throw him right up the rankings now, throw him right in there with a veteran, throw him top 15 guy. So I think Tai Tuivasa makes a lot of sense. So yeah, but Romanov, man, such an exciting prospect. God, when you have that level of wrestling and aggression, gosh, at the heavyweight division, and he's only, I think he's what, 29 or 30? Or maybe I'm overaging him. Let me check real quick. He's 29.
He'll be 30 December 11th.
29 is 21 in when you're in the heavyweight division compared to every other division. That's really young. Again, if people just need to look at the list of heavyweights that are under the age of 30 in the UFC, it's not a long list. So, yeah, I'm cautious. I think Tai Tuivasa would be a fun matchup. People might look at it as kind of like a Rocky Martinez thing, but I think Tai Tuivasa is a step above that, and I'd like to see if he's improved his takedown defense enough to deal with someone like Romanov. Unlikely, but I think Tai still has a lot of potential.
I am going to do everything in my power to get Alexander Romanov on What the Heck this week.
Oh,
I've already planted some seeds, so we're going to try to make that happen. I definitely want to get him on. He's just so fun to watch as we head to everybody's favorite segment, the wild card round, where we select a fighter we have not match made for yet. And we will do so right now. So, Mr. Alexander K. Lee, we will begin with you. What is your UFC Vegas 13 wildcard selection?
Well, first I have to ask, you did the damage, right?
I did not.
You did not. You did not do Darren Elkins? Oh, man. Darren Elkins. He was due, as our Casey Leitner likes to say. He snapped. No way he could have lost. Snapped a four-fight losing streak in impressive fashion. In classic The Damage fashion, we should say, because there was several moments in that fight where he was just getting cracked. And frankly, until he took control in the third with his grappling, got the submission win, I actually think Garagori could have won that fight by decision. It was maybe 1-1 on the scorecards, but sure enough, the damage, he did what he does. He found a way to find a win. He's tied the UFC record for most UFC featherweight wins with Max Holloway, which is pretty damn impressive. So I like him, and I think Makhwan Amirkhani. Amirkhani just suffered that tough loss to Barbosa. He's a guy who we keep saying is kind of right on that cusp of stardom, but there's some definite weaknesses there with maybe a little bit in the striking and definitely in the cardio, which is troubling. But putting him in there with a machine like Elkins would be really fun. I think I'd get another classic Elkins fight. It's got to weather an early storm from Amirkhani, and then as the fight goes on, who knows? Maybe Elkins gets himself another win. The other one I would have liked to see was, I think this fight was booked and then it was canceled for whatever reason. Alex Caceres, maybe. Fun little veteran fight. Fun fight for both guys. But Amirkhani, I think. I still want to see him getting tested. I think he's in that stage now. He needs to keep fighting veterans like Barbosa, like Elkins. And then we'll see if he ever makes it over that hill that we keep thinking he has the potential to do.
There's a part of me watching, I think as the fight was happening, I was like, all right, I'm going to match make for Darren Elkins. And then when I heard his post-fight interview with John Anik, I was like, I don't feel like I have the heart to make another fight for this man. Like, if he wants to keep going, that's great. But just seeing him on camera, just all over the place and face all mangled, black eyes, and all this other stuff. I just was like, I can't do it. Respect for you for doing that. You are a true journalist, sir. But I have two ready. One is kind of obvious, so I'm not going to go with it as my official pick. Tanner Bozier versus Maurice Greene. That is easy peasy. That is the fight to make. Storyline's already built. There you go. So that's absolutely easy. But my wild card pick, because we like to dig a little deeper, like to go on a journey, I'm going with the Houston, Texas police officer, Trevin Giles, because this man has had a crazy road, AK. Lost his fight with Kevin Holland minutes before he's about to begin because he faints backstage. Scary situation. Now he's watched Kevin Holland just run off all these wins, and now he's going to get a UFC main event on December 5th. So this guy's like, you know what? I want, you know, give me a little something, something. Give me an opportunity. He looked good on Saturday. Finishes Bavon Lewis in the third round, so he's got two straight wins. And I have the perfect fight, and I'm going to back away from one of my picks coming out of UFC 254. I was ready to throw this man a different opponent. I still like the idea if the UFC puts this together, but I am officially changing direction. The fight to make, Trevin Giles versus Phil Haas. Step up for Phil, step up for Trevin. I think it's perfect for both guys, AK. They're right around the same, in my opinion. I probably got him top 35, top 40 guys. Trevin's a tough out. He's going to test Phil Haas. I think this is the fight to make.
Trevin Giles versus Phil Haas.
Yes.
My only thing, I like it. Haas, I feel like, Giles, I say, I feel like deserves to fight someone. You know me, I'm an experienced guy. I do hinge a lot of my matchmaking on experience. Haas looked great. Insanely great in his UFC debut, but he's only 1-0. I don't know if he's earned that Giles fight yet. Even though, as you mentioned, Giles, you know, kind of seduced some building back after that's, you know, that kind of screwy win over James Krause and then missing out on the Holland fight. And I think he's aware, you're right, of kind of the hype around Phil Haas. So maybe this is his chance to kind of steal some of that heat. But I don't know. I don't know if I like Giles facing Haas just yet, but Haas is rising real quick. Like I'm just looking at the guys ahead of Haas, and I'm not sure he's going to end up fighting someone with more experience than him, more likely than not. And Giles, yeah, you could certainly pick worse names than Giles.
Yeah, my fear is the UFC is just going to throw Haas to a top 15 guy because that's what the UFC likes to do. He got an 18 second knockout. Let's throw him right in there. Let's give him somebody ridiculous. Like no, hit the brakes a little bit, slow it down. Let's give him Trevin Giles, see what he can do. And if he loses, it's not the end of the world. And if he wins, then okay, this guy is the real deal. So I think that's good. Impa Kasanganai was another name I thought of, but I don't know if Giles is going to be too excited about that because Kasanganai was on the wrong end of a posterizing, which Kasanganai is a great guy, but I think Giles probably needs something a little bit better, and I think Phil Haas would get him out of bed. So there you go.
I think we've matchmaked for this guy already, but how do you feel about Trevin Giles and Dricus du Plessis?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it, but that's a big step up, I think.
KSW title shot for Giles.
I think du Plessis is like right there. I think he's like a win or two away. He might be a win away from the top 15. This guy is legit. Very legit. And I know Phil Haas is only 1-0 in the UFC, but du Plessis is globally renowned. People think that this guy is a top 15 guy already, so it's kind of tough.
It would be a big get for Giles if his team could put that fight together. Yeah, that'd be a big get.
Absolutely. Listener suggestions. We're growing like crazy here, AK.
We have so many. We have some regulars, of course. Our good pal, Tristan Gordet. He's doing a couple. I've seen other people mention this. He likes Barcelos and Marlon Vera. That's a super tough fight for Vera, for Chito. I think Chito is being a little more strategic with his booking right now. So, yeah, I mean, look, he wouldn't say no. I don't think Chito says no to anything. But I would think he's done the UFC enough favors and taken on enough tough opponents that they would give him someone who's a little more well-known, a little more of a name than Haoni. So Haoni, like, again, we all know who've kept up with him. Know he's a top 10 talent for sure. He's just not a top 10 name yet, I think, as far as recognition. But if that fight was booked, would not be surprised.
Yeah, not to cut you off, but it seems that all signs are pointing towards Chito versus Jose Aldo at some point, maybe December or January.
Yes, I think that's the other issue with the match. I think that one makes a lot more sense. I think you mentioned this. Romanov and Juan Espino, did you mention this already?
I did not mention that.
I think I've seen multiple people mention this one. Yeah, again, style-wise, sure, two grapplers, two big, strong, burly grapplers makes sense. Again, I think they're... both 2-0 in the UFC. So if you want again to go with the experience thing, for some reason I just feel like they're going in different directions. I don't know why. Mathematically they're not. Mathematically makes a lot of sense. But anyway, thank you for those suggestions, Tristan. I'll go to the Instagram DMs. My first Jacob Australia into my DMs like for plenty of matchups. I'll read a couple of them. What do you think of Juan Espino and Arlovsky?
Old
guy battle.
I don't mind that one either. I'm okay with that.
He also threw this one out there. I don't like this for Arlovsky at all, obviously. Tom Aspinall.
No. No.
He might get Bozered.
Yeah, that's not good, yeah.
Tanner Bozer, Stefan Struve? That's a weird one. I don't know how I feel about that.
But I think Bozer and Green's fight to make. Or you give Bozer Greg Hardy.
I didn't like this one because it's a guy on a winning streak versus a guy on a losing streak. But it would be a top 10 opponent. Haoni and Rafael Assuncao.
Hmm. Maybe. Dangerous fight for Assuncao.
And then we didn't match up Claudia Gadelha, so we'll shout out Jacob from Australia for this one. Gadelha versus the winner of Mackenzie Dern and Janjaroba. Janjaroba.
Yeah, that's
makes sense,
good.
Right? I hadn't even thought about that. It makes sense. Yeah, either way, you're getting a sick like grappling battle. Anyway, and he says, love the show and all of the MMAfighting.com coverage. So that's definitely for you, Mike. That comment is for you, my friend.
I don't know.
Now, we had a lot of Twitter activity, a few DMs. So again, some of our old pals, Harry Lipsky. He wants to see. He's with us. He says Glover has to get the Adesanya Blachowicz winner. So and he liked the Romanov Tabura call it. So that Romanov Tabura fight it's building a lot of steam. Everyone's talking about it. Aronsky brought up a good point of Barcelos versus Sean O'Malley, which I cannot imagine the UFC booking that fight.
No chance.
And Jack Shore, which seems beneath Barcelos' point, but he did replace Shore against Taha. So that wouldn't be the first time that the UFC has kind of done something like that. Kind of like, oh, well, you replace this guy, so now you fight him. I don't know. It feels he's beyond the Jack Shore fight, but it's not illogical. So thank you, Aronsky.
Ooh, that's interesting. Just, I feel like they really like Jack Shore too, and that's a really tough fight to throw him in. Like, I know 35 is so deep, and you kind of like, there's certain matchups and certain placements that like you just can't avoid. But I think that's a fight you can make like down the line. I like the matchup; it'd be interesting, but. Barcelos is 36 years old, and that's a young man in this sport. It can be, especially with how he's looking right now. But you only got this man for so long, probably. I don't know. That's a future fight. Not a right now fight.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Ryan Doherty, thank you for at our Doherty797 on Twitter. Thank you for reaching out to us for the first time. Big fan of the show. Says he loves listening to it every Monday morning. Well, now he can listen to it on Sunday afternoon.
You're welcome, Ryan.
You are welcome. He likes Jan and Joanna. There's a lot of good matchups for Joanna. We just don't know when Joanna wants to fight again. That's probably the issue. And I don't know if I want Jan to have to go through that fight to earn a title shot. Not that I don't think she can win it, but that's a lot to ask.
Listen, I think she's going to have to win another one. So, honestly, like if she fought Joanna, like Joanna would probably be my first choice if I had the book. But again, Joanna has already said, like, I don't know when I'm coming back. I need to have fans. She's saying all these different things that leads me to believe that she is in no hurry to come back. So the more logical pick is Esparza. But if she goes out there and beats Joanna, there is no doubt about it. She's getting a title shot. Like, there are a lot of people who think that Joanna should get the fight before Rose Namajunas because that first fight was so good. And if they booked it again, I'd be all right with that. I would absolutely be all right with that. But Jan's good. I mean, Jan is somebody to keep an eye on. She is a legit prospect, a legit up-and-comer in this division. I still think she needs another win, though.
And strawweight is a legit division.
So
strawweight
good.
Is really good.
So
it's
good.
Really strawweight and flyweight and women's flyweight. Man, I hope people recognize how good these divisions have become. Credit to the matchmakers. Credit to the fighters for how strong these two divisions have become. Admittedly, the heavier weight classes right now, not that great, but you know what? I would say the same about the men's divisions as well. So that's kind of just the nature of the sport.
Yeah.
Sorry to tell you. Ryan Doherty, come on. He said, Andre Arlovsky versus Fabricio Werdum. Werdum is, I guess he hasn't technically signed with anyone else yet, but he's essentially gone from the UFC. But hey, you know what? Maybe Bellator someday. So that's a futures pick. For Ryan, I'll give you credit for a futures pick there. Bellator 2022, Arlovsky versus Werdum main event at Mohegan Sun in glamorous Uncasville, Connecticut. I'm down. I'm so down. Oh, sorry, one more versus Out of Shadow, because I forgot. They sent me one a couple of weeks ago. I totally forgot to mention them. Marcus McGahee at the Notorious B.I.V. on Twitter. Thank you for sending your suggestions as well. He likes Arlovsky Sergey Pavlovich. This matchup, which I looked at, but I don't like it for either guy because they're both trending upwards and should keep them away from each other. Haoni and Casey Kenny. Not right now.
Wow.
Someday. Not right now.
Sheesh.
Someday. Plenty of time for both. Those guys are going to be around for a long time. But like I said, Haoni a little bit older in age, but I think we could see him fight Kenny down the road.
God, that's a fun fight. Wow.
It really is.
That one I have less of an issue with than the Jack Shore one. Because Kenny's proven himself, in my opinion, to get a fight like that. Jack Shore hasn't done so just yet.
And he is Marcus is down with you on Jan Esparza. And also the alternative, Watterson, Hibas winner. So you and Marcus, you guys are on the same wavelength there. So good stuff all around. Thank you guys for the DMs. I'll run very quickly through some of the Twitter. Oh, but I forgot to mention my usual quick hits for our wild card stuff. I think I only have one, and that's I have two. Garagori, man, watch when you throw those knees, because boy, I hate to be a backseat coacher, but. It really looked like he threw that knee, and it's what got him taken down and cost him the fight. I'm just saying.
Yes.
And Ramiz Brahimi, just got that ear fixed up. But call Jamie Campbell. Sorry, we got to
set
that
Johnny.
Excuse me, Johnny Campbell. We got to set up the support group. Johnny Campbell, Brahimi, guys, you guys got it because Johnny Campbell had a great attitude about it. So I hope Brahimi is not too down, and maybe he can talk to Campbell about how to deal with that emotionally, because that was more damaging people's ears. All right. No, we don't need to see that anymore.
Yeah.
So on Twitter, some very amusing responses. So I asked for responses for Darren Elkins, what's next? And kind of as you suggested, Dan on Twitter said at @dejw_99, a doctor. Yes, fine. I agree. Though someone else threw out Diego Sanchez, which I hadn't even thought about, but I'm like in a sick way. I'm kind of like, I guess it'd be at lightweight. Or Diego's not going down to
fight. I don't want Diego to go down to lightweight. I want to see Diego fight like Damian Maia 185 at this point.
Suddenly I feel like this fight, I wish the fight had happened now when Diego was flirting with featherweight. But anyway, that's just that's a sick matchup. Romanov Alenik was a one people were a lot of people were saying. Someone else said he deserves to just get some KFC, which I mean, look, he's a big guy, but come on. We don't need to make cracks about heavyweights weight. Giga, someone said two people at Bejuggled and at Combat Sports 10 both said Edson Barbosa. Too soon. Great fight, too soon. And Haoni, man, a lot of people like the Sean O'Malley thing. I don't know where that's coming from, but is there any new at Willie Trooper 2 says Pedro Munoz, so that's one we hadn't seen before. And at Kieran Hill 24, Song Yadong, which again, I think we just want to see Song Yadong fight. Kind of haven't seen him since the Cheeto fight. So, yeah, but most intriguing. So, thank you again, everyone, for all those suggestions. The DMs, the emails, everything is fantastic. I ran a poll, Mike. I ran a poll on using our work account. I ran a poll. I'm mischievous like that. And I said, look, who would you rather see fight Jan Blachowicz for the UFC light heavyweight title? Okay, go over to Shara or Israel Adesanya. I'm aware there's recency bias running a poll like that right after Shara has an amazing performance like that. It's going to tilt in his favor. But I'm just saying, right now, as of today, with almost 10,000 votes in total, Shara has 59%, 59.4%, Izzy, 40.6%. So,
wow.
I'm just saying, it's out there. Dana White, check out these polls, matchmakers. I'm just saying, wow. A lot of support for...
That's very surprising to me, honestly. Like, I know this is
our fans are smart, Mike. It doesn't surprise me because our fans and our readership are smart, educated people. Not to insult the people who picked Adesanya because it's a great fight as well. But the 59.4%, thank you for putting more thought into this than Dana White just throwing out a name out there for a super fight that doesn't need to happen right now.
I'm pleasantly surprised. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. Pleasantly surprised. Great answer. It should be Teixeira. I am a meritocracy-based kind of a guy. But I'm surprised. I thought Adesanya, because of his popularity and because of the buzz that he has, I just thought like his name would be kind of the automatic winner. I expected it to be close. Like, if you asked this question, like, you know, 2 weeks ago when this thing was announced and you put all three of those guys, I would expect Adesanya to have, like, 75% of the vote. Here, he's losing. He's on the wrong side of it. That's crazy. I like it, though. I like it. I kind of hope that the UFC just calls an audible here, because the whole thing is messed up, AK. The whole situation is messed up, because the problem with not booking a fight with Robert Whittaker was, oh, I don't want to wait till March. But now they're saying that this fight's going to happen in March. They're saying that this fight is going to happen in March.
Right.
So just do both title fights on the same card in March. What is the problem? What is the problem? Adesanya versus Whittaker for the middleweight title. Blachowicz versus Teixeira for the light heavyweight title. If both guys win, go ahead and book it. Go ahead and book it. International Fight Week or whatever they're calling it now. July. Put them on the July card. That's the fight to make. Then you can do title versus title, champion versus champion, whatever. But if they're both, if the fight's going to happen in March, just give it to Whittaker and give it to Teixeira. And then we can all be happy and free and we don't have to debate this every week. It's ridiculous.
Mike is fired up, people. You can hear it in his voice, and I wish you could see him. He's fired up and he's animated.
Poor Robert Whittaker. I'm just like, he's just like, what? Are you serious? I'm waiting till March. And then Blachowicz comes out and says, we're fighting in March. What? What is going on here?
Not to mention, hopefully, sometime in the next 2 months, like, we actually have, like, John Jones actually books a heavyweight fight. Is that too much to ask? Did we actually get some update on that? Because is that still happening? Is this another tease? We don't know, right? So yes, like you said, we have two very viable title shots in the light heavyweight division and the middleweight division. We have John Jones hopefully actually making that move to heavyweight. There's no reason to cross these storylines right now. There's just no reason to do it. So yeah, I think you're right. I think we're all in agreement. Us and apparently almost 60% of our people, the people who vote on this poll, are in agreement. Let's just be sensible. Let's pump the brakes down on some of this drama and just let's go with the fights that are right in front of us. Come on now.
Let me ask you this question: Who has the bigger chance of getting the big fat hose job, Teixeira or Francis Ngannou?
Oh, that's a real. I still think Ngannou. I don't know why. I just. Because, again, I do think it's more likely Jones gets that heavyweight fight before coming back down to fight either whoever's there waiting for him at 205 when this all settles. And then who knows how long it's going to take. Regardless of whether he beats Stipe or Stipe beats him, who knows how long it's going to take to set up another title fight. So I think Ngannou could get screwed again. I hope he doesn't fight again before getting a title shot. But, again, like we said for some of the people, several of the people on today's matchmaking show, sometimes you have no choice. Man's got to eat. Man's got to stay busy, and people want to fight.
Well, we appreciate all of your suggestions, and we invite you to keep those suggestions coming. So hit us up on the Twitter. AK is at Alexander K. Lee. I am at MikeHeck_JR. And join us next week as we recap the fallout of UFC Vegas 14, headlined by Islam Makhachev versus the former world champ returning to 155, Rafael dos Anjos. Kind of a thin card, if we're being honest. We went through it on the post-fight show. It's just not that great, if we're being honest. But positivity, these are the ones that usually create the most chaos, and we're all here for that as we get closer to the UFC's next pay-per-view extravaganza, UFC 255. So with that said, we are out of time. For Alex K. Lee, I am Mike Heck. Thank you for listening. If you got it a day early, tell your friends how that happened, and always remember, don't take this too seriously. MMA is supposed to be fun. We will see you next time right here on to the next one, the podcast.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.